Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Hi, you're listening to Cradio and I'm Sarah, and today I'm joined in the studio by 23-year-old Sydneysider Chiara Parola, who has recently returned from an exciting six-month journey across the United States of America. Thanks for joining me today, Chiara.
It's a pleasure to be here, Sarah.
First of all, could I get you to tell us a bit about your journey? Because I know you come from a strong Catholic family, but as a teenager, you were an atheist.
Yeah, that was kind of my teenage rebellion. When I was about 13, I was, you know, at a high school where I wasn't very happy. You know, I was bullied. I didn't have any friends. And I decided that was going to be my teenage rebellion. I was going to be an atheist because all this Catholic stuff was silly and superstitious. And I'm better than that. And I'm smarter than that. And I was also a very arrogant teenager. Fairly typical, and it was at the challenge of an agnostic religion teacher, one of the greatest ironies among many, and he said to me, don't turn your back on something unless you can play the devil's advocate so convincingly anyone else would believe that you believe. I'm like, oh, okay, so get to know it really well so I know what I'm turning my back on. Sure, that'll be easy, and it ended up bringing me home. Changed high schools in the meantime, and I think I was the only person to check out the Summa Theologica at age 16 in the history of that school library, and just read, and it kind of brought me back home, at least on a head level. Anyway, you know, all those typical questions about contraception, all that sort of stuff. I had all those questions, and I found really good stuff, and I wasn't the first person to ask those kinds of questions, like, why is there suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? And yeah, and I really, really learned a lot from that, you know, year and a half or so of, you know, taking that journey, going a full circle. And what really kind of capped off the experience was I was 15. Yeah, 15. And I did my first Antioch retreat weekend. And that really made it personal. You know, I went to confession for the first time since I made the sacrament back when I was 8, and just, you know, that was kind of the capping end. You know, I was home and I was very happy being a Catholic, and went the other way and became a little bit overzealous, as people tend to do. But, you know, that was kind of 17, 18. I've mellowed out a lot now. I'm a lot more chilled.
I'm sure many of us can relate. So you've recently completed a degree in politics, I believe, and you did your honours, and you decided to take 6 months out and head to the States to visit some religious congregations.
I did. With my honours year of uni, actually, no, we've got to fast forward, we've got to rewind back a little bit. January 2012, I had to think there. I made a pilgrimage to Guadalupe in Mexico City, and then to New York, and then to Washington, D.C., and it was a pro-life pilgrimage. And so I encountered Our Lady of Guadalupe for the very first time. You know, my family has a history of a bit of a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, but I never really got it until I went there. And then I went and visited the sisters. We had a mission day in Mexico, with the Missionaries of Charity, working at an orphanage there where most of the children were disabled. And then we went to New York, spent 4 days with the Sisters of Life up there, and then went to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And that pilgrimage had a really profound impact on me, because that kind of awoke, you know, really, really made the possibility of religious life real. Like, most of the nuns I'd seen were elderly and my primary school principal, and they were, you know, they were dying orders. I'd never seen a vibrant, alive religious order up close. And that, I kind of ignored that little awakening for a long while. It took about 8 months before something kind of, you know, the dam broke per se, and I actually took the possibility of being called to religious life seriously. And from then, and that was about 8 months into my honours year. So there was a lot of stress going on as well with my thesis and that sort of thing. And I realised that I needed to take some time out at some point to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. Like, I'm, you know, I was 22. I was not going to have a real job after my degree. Let's face it, politics doesn't really get you anywhere these days. And, you know, I needed, and I had a big question, you know, am I called to be a sister? And I needed that answered. And it wasn't going to happen if I just sat around twiddling my thumbs waiting for a lightning bolt. So I went looking. And, you know, then I worked my butt off for 6 months so I could afford to run around the United States and go to World Youth Day. And so that's what I did. I took 6 months and got my questions answered, which was great.
So tell me about that experience. I believe you kept a blog. You called it a nun run.
Yes.
I quite like that.
Yes,
that name.
Yes. No, tell it. Try to explaining to people what I was doing was often brought some really hilarious expressions. They're just like, so why are you going to America? I'm doing a nun run. A what now? You know, that was what's a nun run? You know, like, you know, you mean you're going to go eat cream buns over there or, you know, all sorts of other people misheard. But I wanted, you know, I chose three orders and mainly because I'd actually had direct contact with them myself. So I chose to go visit the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia in Nashville because I'd had quite a little bit of contact with Sister Mary Rachel on a women's retreat. And, you know, they were cool and very down to earth. And I really, you know, thought, you know, I want to get to know their charism better. And the Sisters of Life on that first pilgrimage I took had a really dramatic impact on me. They were kind of the real sort of, you know, the light bulb went off. It's like, hey, you know, being a nun's actually kind of cool. So I wanted to go see them again and spend more time with them because they were just out of this world. There's no, unless you've met a Sister of Life, you don't kind of know what I'm talking, it's really hard to kind of describe. But, and the other order that I wanted to visit were the Religious Sisters of Mercy based in Alma, Michigan. Because I was taught by Sister Moira at Notre Dame. I did an extra theology unit and she taught it. And I quite, you know, really, and I really, 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 you know, we kind of bonded a little bit. And, you know, as I saw her around Notre Dame, we'd chat and she was a very cool nun. She was a very cool nun too. And so I thought, well, her order must have something to it as well. And so I started planning my trip and I had the opportunity to go to World Youth Day, and that was kind of the start of my journey. So I left on the 13th of January to go to World Youth Day, and then left Rio de Janeiro and flew north to the United States. And I settled in with some family friends of ours. They're, you know, absolutely wonderful and became like second parents to me. So I was really lucky. I didn't have – and then – October, because nothing happens in the United States over the summer, so everything starts in October. So October, I headed down to Nashville for my first weekend, for my first retreat with the Dominican Sisters, and that was just a weekend. And I love those sisters. They were really, really awesome, but they were very overwhelming at the same time because they're huge. Like, they've got vocations coming out of their ears. And I was one of, like, 60 girls discerning a vocation with them, and so I was just like, oh wow, you know, just, you know, quite overwhelmed by the whole experience. But it also became very clear to me that this wasn't the charism for me. And directly after that weekend, I was driving the whole time, by the way, so that was a great experience, driving on the wrong side of the road down all the highways. And so I drove from Nashville all the way up to Alma, Michigan. Alma's this tiny little semi-rural suburb in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you're surrounded by cornfields and a couple of ponds. And but right in the middle of this suburban street are the Sisters of Mercy. And I had a week with them. And I had one of the greatest weeks of my life. Like, it was really a great time of really fruitful spiritual growth. And those sisters are phenomenal. Like, I really fell in love with what they do. They're all ferociously intelligent. They've got advanced degrees. At the mother house, they had a general surgeon, four physicians, you know, what else did they have? They had a psychiatrist. They had a physical therapist, you know, all the, you know, and then on top of that, teachers as well as canon lawyers and other really you know, really highly qualified professional women. And so that, so my intellect was really quite drawn to that as well, and the possibility of being, you know, being able to be a gift like that and in a really professional way. And, you know, and I really fell in love with the mercy spirituality, like the little, you know, doing, you know, just bringing the mercy of God into the misery of humanity. And, you know, in any way you're asked to. And I loved the Mercy Sisters. Like if I was, if, you know, and that was, you know, like when you're discerning a religious vocation, you kind of boils down to two questions. One, am I called to be a sister? And two, to what order am I called to be a sister in? And that week I got the answer to question two. If I was called to be a sister, I knew I would be a Mercy Sister. But I left that week with this, you know, God was still saying to me, not yet. I've still got more for you. Keep going. And I'm going, okay. And so I went back home to Philadelphia and, you know, had about 2 weeks there before I headed up to the Sisters of Life in New York in November. And that was a roller coaster. I had 17 days with the Sisters of Life, which is one of the greatest blessings you could ever possibly ask for. These nuns are awesome. And I stayed with the postulants, which was really, really cool. So there's about 12 of them there at the moment. And I had a great time there. Like we formed a spontaneous Irish folk band and did all sorts of, you know, in between praying and doing laundry and whatever else, you know, attending classes and whatever else they, you know, postulants do. And sorting a lot of baby clothes too. Sorted a lot of baby clothes. And the Sisters of Life have just this incredible life-giving, nurturing charism. And but spiritually for me, that the first week or so of that retreat, I was in absolute spiritual desolation. It was horrible. It was all for a purpose, but it was really, really awful while I was in it. And, you know, it was just a feeling of numbness. And if you've never experienced spiritual desolation, it's kind of hard to nail it down. And thankfully I, you know, Sister Antoniana, who was the vocations director of the Sisters of Life, she'd given me a couple of books on Ignatian discernment. And one of them was Discernment of Spirits. And so I was reading this book at the same time, which was, I mean, a real, which was extremely helpful. Most helpful thing I've read. There's a tip for you. If you're discerning anything in life, go have a look at Ignatian discernment because they know what they're talking about. There's some really great books by Father Timothy Gallagher, I think, and those are the books she handed to me. And they were so easy to read and nice big print and, you know, just sat there in the chapel with them. And I really fell in love with St. Ignatius. He was kind of walking with me the whole way. And really fell in love with him and his very blunt way of doing things. And so after a week of this kind of misery, Sister Antoniana was like, Chiara, I've signed you up for the young adults retreat, you know, on the weekend. You'll have fun. And so I'm like, okay. And I didn't realize till much later that also involved a costume for an All Saints Day party. So that was fun, trying to pull the costume together out of what I had. But I really, that weekend was a real shot in the arm. It was my lowest point, but also the point where, also the turning point in terms of, and so I just kind of grew in the sense of God's presence. He was with me even when I couldn't sense it. And, you know, and I just, you know, it was really humbling. You know, I learned a lot about humility in that first week of desolation, you know, that God doesn't work on your timetable. He works on his own timetable. And I knew that I gave him 6 months and I knew he would use every minute of it because, you know, at the end of the day, it's never enough time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the last 4 days of my time with the Sisters of Life was the Come and See retreat. So we had about 20 other women from all across the country come and, you know, discern with the sisters. And the Friday of that retreat was when I finally got the answer to question number one, you know, am I called to be a sister? And that day we had gone, was the apostolic day, so we'd gone to the Bronx and prayed outside an abortion clinic, one of the biggest abortion clinics in the area. And we then went to the Apostolic Center and saw their visitation mission and listened to a testimony from one of the women who stayed with the sisters, who now has a beautiful baby. And just, you know, really, really awesome day. And then that evening in the chapel, there was Eucharistic healing. And, you know, I kind of went before the host and it was just, you know, it was, you know, just this overwhelming sense of peace. And also it's kind of hard to describe. It wasn't really it wasn't your own thoughts, because it was just this feeling, no, you're not called to be a sister. You're called to be married. And, you know, and then, you know, just this overwhelming sense of peace and serenity and relief as well. And there was no more doubt. And, you know, this is awesome. I was just enjoying this, you know, beautiful spiritual experience. And then I realized that, you know, and I was ready to run around the chapel singing and dancing and, you know, just jumping around because I was just so over the moon and so grateful. But I realized that the silent part of the retreat had just started. And so I couldn't talk. I couldn't tell anyone, you know, because when you get something so awesome like that, you want to share it. And so I sat all day on this awesome piece of good news, sitting on my hands, just tapping my foot, just going, oh, I really want to tell someone. This is so awesome. This is so beautiful. I have to share it, but I can't, because it's the silent day and there are other people who are struggling and who need the silence. And I'm good, you know, just... Yeah, finally I met with Sister Virginia Joy, who is one of the other, who's also in the vocations office. And, so I finally got to tell her and she was like, yes, and was so happy for me. And we were laughing, carrying on, and it was just beautiful. Mm. And, yeah, and that was kind of my answer. And, I mean, I really wanted to stay longer with those sisters, like, those sisters are just so beautiful. And I mean, but it was time to leave. Mm. You know, I got my answer. And, you know, if I'd stayed, it wouldn't have been good for me. And yeah, and that was, and so I then had another month or so to, you know, wrap things up and pack up and go home, and had a few more, you know, had my birthday on Thanksgiving. And, you know, and I came home with an answer, which is way more than what I was expecting.
Mm.
I would have just, you know, liked to have seen the next step.
Yeah.
In, you know, any direction. I didn't mind which direction it was. And so I got a full answer. So it was awesome.
So you got an answer, which is great.
Yeah.
But what else do you think you've taken away with you from that experience?
One of the things I've taken away is... how is, you know, just this whole huge learning curve in the art of being a Christian. Though the women that I met, they really taught me what self-sacrificing love is. And they are incredibly fruitful and joyful and very, really motherly women and really, really beautifully feminine. And that kind of really, what I took from them was how to be more at peace with myself and my own identity as a woman, and how to really orient myself both intellectually and spiritually on the other and loving the other person, you know, which is what our job is. As a Christian, I really got to see up close how these women do it, and that really profoundly changed the way I see the world. And what else did I take away? Also, nuns are cool. You really take that. Nuns are cool. Nuns are cool. There are some very cool nuns, and they don't all have mustaches.
You mentioned Irish folk. Band.
Oh yeah,
Sisters of Life.
Yeah, we had a bit of a free afternoon in the postulants, and quite a few of them are very musically talented. We had a tin Irish tin whistle, We had two guitars, we had a violinist, we had, and then we found in like the corner of one of their cupboards all these like, you know, hillbilly band instruments. So we had like a washboard and some maracas and that sort of thing. And so we just grabbed them, and then someone was looking on the, you know, there's had this little corner dedicated to music books on their bookshelf, and someone pulled out a book, and the first thing it was classic Irish folk songs, and we just opened up, we just started playing. And, you know, we got pretty good, you know, singing Whiskey in the Jar and Danny Boy and, you know, all sorts of great, fun, you know, classic Irish tunes. And that was how we started the Postulants Irish Folk Band.
Hey, what happens in the convent stays in the convent.
Oh, man. I mean, it's a shame. It's a right shame it stays in the convent, because seriously, I think we could have done well.
Mm. Well, I know there's a photo of you dressed up as G.K. Chesterton.
Oh, yeah, there is. That was for the All Saints Day party. And I just saw, and Chesterton's cause was open for canonization that year. So I'm like, aha, yes, he's on his way to being a saint. That counts. And so that was quite a lot of fun, actually. And that night, too, with the party, there was an Irish Kaylee downstairs. And so Chesterton lost about 200 pounds as a result because it just got too hot. And Irish dancing is great for your fitness. But, of course, then dessert arrived and he gained back those 200 pounds. So that's what the photos didn't show you.
Okay, so for those young people out there who might be where you were a year and a half ago, maybe studying, wondering what God has in store for their lives, what advice from your experience, what advice would you give?
First of all, I know your pain. It is, you know, being in that place of uncertainty it can be really overwhelming and it can be really disheartening. And so the first piece of advice is, if that's the space you're in, stick with it. You know, just, you know, don't pray for patience. That's a bad idea, because if you pray for patience, you'll be given plenty of opportunities to practice. Pray instead for peace while you wait. And when I started doing that, that actually helped a lot. And also don't be afraid to be proactive. You know, like I said, you can't sit there, and, you know, God doesn't want passive vocations. He might grace you with the lightning bolt, but for the rest of us, you know, you have to go looking. You have to give him a chance to point you in the right direction. And if you're not moving, he can't move you anywhere. So don't be afraid to go and talk to a vocations director. And, you know, a conversation of mine with Father Michael de Stoop was one of the most helpful, you know, was a really helpful thing early on in my journey, because he kind of gave me the courage to say, go for it. And also, if you're in when you're in your early 20s, you're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, now's the time to be a little bit adventurous. And now's the time to be a little bit like, I'm going to go and try these new things, because you can. And it's a very privileged time as well. It's only going to happen once. And if you do even have the slightest inkling that religious life might be for you, because it started off with me, it's only slight, you have the slightest inkling to go further in you discerning your vocation, I mean, go with it, because it's going to affect the rest of your life, whether you're called to marriage, whether you're called to be single, whether you're called to religious life, or if you're a man, called to the priesthood. You know, God takes a millimeter and runs a mile. You've got to pick up the millimeter so he can turn it into a mile. And yeah, that's the main thing. Be proactive. Go talk to some nuns. Go talk to some priests. Go visit some religious orders. You know, go visit the Benedictines in Jamboree and do a silent retreat, especially if you talk a lot like me. That was one of the weirdest things, was being silent. Also the most fruitful, though. Be proactive. Seize the day, as they say. What do the kids say these days? YOLO? You only live once? You only live once, so go visit some nuns.
That's some sound important advice. Yeah.
Things don't know about sound.
But anyway, your whole experience is
listening.
So, yeah, that's rebelcatholic.blogspot.com. Thanks so much for your time today, Kiara.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me and for the opportunity to share.
Radio.org.au